You may be seated. You know, Jesus was talking to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. And he has asked Jesus, or Jesus has asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but rather my Spirit has revealed this to you. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I was thinking about that verse this week in my prayer time and in my study. And, you know, we've just closed 2015. We're all anxious about getting into 2016 with excitement. And I just want to call us, as your pastor, to embrace a vision of building something that will outlive us. Amen? We live in confusing cultural times. And in some ways, the church has become almost like a Walmart. I can stop in and get what I need and be on my way. And the problem with that is, and there's a place you're going to be fed as you come to church. Amen? It's a great place to be fed. But there's a place for the stalkers. There's a place for those who come in at night and restock the shelves, get the place entirely clean, and be ready to open. And what I'm saying is, organizations are not built on those who just stop in and shop. Amen?
Amen?
Organizations, and let me just say the church here, is built on those who come in and move from being one who just shops and imitating others to pretty soon other people are imitating them because they are imitating Jesus. Amen? Amen? And pretty soon we begin to reproduce because we are following Jesus. And that's what I want to see for Living Well. I want to see more than just a place where people come in and shop and pick up something and then go. I rather would call all of us to embrace a vision of building something here that will outlive us. Amen? Are you all in for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 30 years of marriage, Jeanette and I have found that the things that we started 30 plus years ago are the things that are now beginning to pay off big time. Like our marriage. Amen? We've got two wonderful kids, and now we've got grandkids coming. What a blessing. But you know, back when we started to think that we were going to be married for so long, seemed daunting. I can remember just going off to college. Jeanette and I got married two weeks before we went off to college at Olivet, and I can remember thinking, what in the world are we doing? Everything we own fit in the back of our pickup truck, and there was room to spare. And 4 years of college, five for me. yeah, that's right, I was a super senior. Seems so daunting. But you know what? We put our head down, and like a husky, you bear the load under the saddle, under the weight, and you just pull, and you pull, and you pull. Regardless of the conditions, regardless of how cold, regardless of how difficult the conditions, you just keep pulling. You just keep pulling. Taking the long view. Let me just say, from a business perspective, an organization perspective, a personal perspective, I started barber school in 1996, and I didn't finish back then because the school I went to ran into compliance problems with the state. The state closed them down, so there I was. I had a couple months, three or four months invested in schooling, and all of a sudden I was nowhere. And I was like, ah. I had borrowed money, $5,000 to the Milledgeville State Bank. Now I had to pay that back. The school wasn't giving me a refund because it was all caught up in litigation. And I, you know, you've all been there. What you thought was really going to be awesome, all of a sudden you're up against a wall, up against a dead end. Well, I went back with the blessing of my family in 2012. And I finished. And let me tell you, a year's worth of driving, 5 days a week to the Quad Cities, 70 miles one way, seemed daunting. But we all know what this is. I'm not telling you anything new. You just got to put your head down, and you got to keep on pulling. Amen? Amen? Because the goal isn't going to happen today, tomorrow, right around the corner. It's a ways off. And I can say now, having finished up 2 years of having opened the business shop, the barber shop, it's starting to pay off. Praise the Lord.
Yep, praise the Lord.
Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But it didn't come overnight. And the disciples were part of that plan that Jesus had for the church. And those days weren't always easy. But they built something that would last, not only outlive them, but we are reaping the benefits. Amen. Praise the Lord for their faithfulness. Sometimes you just gotta keep on keeping on. The church is a place of discovery. Yes. This is where I met Jesus. This is where I met Jesus at 5 years, not living well, but it was church. I met the Lord Jesus. I came to the altar and tugged on the pastor's suit coat, and he leaned down and I said, I want to be saved. And he led me in the sinner's prayer. I'll never forget that day. The church is a place of discovery. It's also a place of preparation. Into my teenage years, I started following Delmas Meeks around. My family and I started attending Harvest Time, and Delmas, who's retired now from Harvest Time, one of the largest churches in the Sauk Valley, up over 1,000 members now. I started following Delmas around, and he let me. I had to be like irritating to him. But he let me follow him around. I went on pastoral calls with Delmas Meeks. Wow. And then I got a little older, and H.C. Hatton, pastor of Sterling First Church, pastored there for 42 years, let me follow him around. And I started learning. Not only discovering, but I started preparing. God was rather preparing me for something that I didn't even know about yet. Church not only was a place of discovery, a place of preparation, but it was also a place of employment. And I don't mean paid employment. I mean a place of occupation. It became a place for me where I not only was being prepared, but this is where I was serving Jesus. I was learning from people who were further down the road from me what it was to serve Jesus. And you see, if we're not all really working on the long haul, that element is missing in churches. Because we've got to have those people who've got their head down, working hard, pulling every Sunday. I this morning at 6:30 we're started, you know, heading into Dixon, and by 7 o'clock we were here, and I was like, Living Well is probably the only church who's got 5 or 6 people here already preparing. That's what it takes. Amen. And not all of us can do that. I understand that all of us are pulling a load, though, in our own way, in our own fashion and gifts. And I commend you for that. It's not only a place of employment or occupation, it is a place where we are taught and we become teachers. You see, you don't get that kind of full picture if you're only a consumer, where you stop and shop, quick and pick, stop and gas up and leave. You get that, and our church needs that. Our church needs followers and leaders and people who are willing to put in the hard time And we have that. And I praise God. I'm just encouraging you this morning. 2016 is going to be a wonderful year. But James says, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its perfect work in you so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And I want our church to be not lacking, don't you? Mm-hmm. That's going to require all of us to adopt a mindset, embrace a mindset that's countercultural. Embrace a mindset that's not consumerism, but to embrace a mindset that says, this is my home. This is my spiritual home. I'm going to raise my kids here. I'm going to build something with the help of my brothers and sisters in Christ and the Lord Jesus at the very center that's going to outlive us. Amen? 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 Praise the Lord. May God help us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come before you today, knowing that you are growing us, leading us, and that we have the awesome privilege as we follow you that people will begin to notice what's going on in that person's life. Why are they so dedicated? Why are they so committed? What's going on? And Father, I pray today that our lives would just point people to Jesus. Father, may you be praised and glorified. Lord, all of our hard work will not add up to anything unless you're the center of it. So Lord, help us stay focused, not on the nuts and bolts of building an organization and all the paperwork and all of the filing and all the, that's all important. It has to be done, Lord. But Father, help us focus completely on you and remember why we're doing what we're doing. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that all of us have here today to stand on the edge of 2016 with optimism. To be excited, Lord, about the future because of what you're doing in and through us. We thank you, Lord, that this is difficult. Because, Lord, it just is so real. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of being a part of your church that strips away those parts of us that are not heaven-like, not holy-like, Jesus. That burns away the dross. And bit by bit, that which we cannot enter heaven with is burned away. And we become more and more and more like Jesus. Lord, may this 2016 vision take hold, I pray. Father, we thank you for what we have. Your Son, your salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord, that Scripture teaches that you bring help and healing in every area of our life. It's an unusually powerful faith. That we're not just bringing Jesus into what we have and hope that some way you get us to heaven. But rather, Lord, we lay down our lives, we lay down what we have at your feet and say, Lord Jesus, you have me. Give me a new name. Thank you for receiving me. Take my sins. Cover me, Lord, with your blood. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be stewards of that which you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for our church that goes beyond the walls of this community room into homes and cars and earbuds this morning. And may Jesus Christ be praised both today and forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Bless the offering as it is now received. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing the doxology together.
praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest. Without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy death is Christ in me.
Brown Bible around here somewhere. It's about this big. It's tan. And there it is. Todd, you've saved me more than once. Thank you very much. What's that? Yes, there, my wallet's back there. Thank you. I have lost my checkbook too, so if you find that, just let me know. It's around. I don't think it's here. I think it's somewhere out there. Yeah. Last week, we talked about the reality of trials and how we perceive them. through God's help with them. These are trials that come at us from the outside in. We feel bombarded sometimes. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. James talks about the trials that you're facing. When you add it all up, lay them all out on the table, here's how you add them up. Count them as joy. So if you had an abacus in front of you and each little bead, thank you, each little bead represented a trial, and you push them over and add them all up, what's it amount to? Joy. That's what James says. Count it all joy. It's an accounting term. When you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work in you so that you can be complete and mature, not lacking in anything. I want to be complete and mature. Amen. I hope that 2015 was a year of spiritual growth for you. It was for me. And if not, I hope 2016 is a year when you face some trials. Because I don't want you to be immature and incomplete. Say, oh, great. What has the pastor just done? All right. This morning we're going to talk about overcoming struggles that come from within. You ready? Let's dig in. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18 this morning. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. We covered that last week. God is not the author of, he's not saying up there, okay, I'm going to just really put Steve through the grinder today. But rather, God allows things into our lives because he knows the result. We know as parents that if we protect our kids from every little thing, that they're not going to learn the implications of their actions. And on a big, big scale, God is doing that with the church. Amen? We have to grow up. It is time for us to take responsibility for our actions. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he, by his own evil desire, is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, why, I had to process this in my office this week, why sin, relaxing, tempting, and deadly? Why would James talk about sin right after he's talked about hardship? At first, my brain was like, I don't see the connection. And then it hit me. When we are faced with hardship, it is those hardships that are going to cause us to lean one way or the other. Can you follow me? We are either going to lean into Christ when things get really tough, and we're going to lean into his strength, or we're going to lean back into the things that give us a false sense of control. Because when the pressure is on, you're going to buckle. You, in your own human strength, and not even Superman can handle it. You, in your own human strength, are going to buckle. You are going to be pushed either to Christ, you're going to lean into Christ, or you're going to lean into things that give you a false sense of security and power. That's why James, right after he talks about the hardships that you're going to face from the outside coming at you, you're also going to face pressure on the inside. hardships, and you are going to be tempted to sin when the hardships from outside come in at you. You remember who he was talking to? He was talking to people who really were having a hard time. These were people of the diaspora. They were people who had been scattered because of persecution. They had to leave. They were separated from family, from their careers, from their credit line, from their chariot or donkeys or whatever they had. There were things that they were separated from, and life was, well, really hard. James says, don't be surprised, and count it all joy. So we'll either lean into Christ, or we're going to lean into the things that give us a false sense of control. Let me ask you this. How was your week? And the difficulties that you faced, which way did you lean? Did you lean into Christ, or did you lean into some form of anesthetic, some distraction, something that gave you a false sense of control, like rage or anger or hyper-focus over an individual or over something? It's not uncommon for pastors to do strange things on Saturday night because they know that Sunday is going to be out of their control, and so they do things like clean their closets. And I noticed myself, it just come out of the blue. I grabbed a bunch of shirts out of my closet and I put them in a bag because I never wear them anymore. I'm like, I've got to put something in order that I can manage. you got some stuff I could work on, do you? You could come to our house, I'll tell you. All right, sin is relaxing, tempting, and deadly. Let's look at relaxing. What does that mean? Sin often entices us most when we're tired physically and weary emotionally. That's why you've got to be careful how much energy you're putting out, because you're only going to make yourself vulnerable at some point to the devil's attacks. Can you hear me all the way back? We have to limit how much we do on Saturdays if we're going to be the best that we can be to build a church on Sunday. Can you hear me? We have to be careful how much emotional energy goes out during the week for stuff that's not going to end up counting for anything. This is going to count. Giving our best to the Master counts. Giving our best to the Master on Sunday counts. Giving our best to the Master every day of the week counts. Why give our best, our emotional energy, our psychological energy away to things that don't matter? Sin entices us most when we're tired physically and weary emotionally. In short, when we get to that place, we believe we deserve a break. I've been there. I get there at some point, usually every week. Because life wears us down. Even doing good things wears us down. We've got to be very careful how we choose what we're going to be doing, but good things even wear us down and can make us vulnerable. Even to the point where we believe we deserve a break, even to the point where we give ourselves permission to take a moral break. And that can take the form of anesthetics, legal or not. Anything that begins to numb the senses, our body just says, give me comfort because I am tired. I need something to take the edge off. Give me something. Well, let's track that back. How did we get there? How did we get in such a terrible condition? Sometimes it's through overextending ourselves into stuff that we don't have any. It's not going to add up to anything. Listen for this to play in your mind when you're tired, because it's played in my mind. Even though this is bad for me, and I know it, I need this, and I don't have any other way to cope with the stress and disappointment that I'm facing right now. Just being real. The science behind this is that some actions release dopamine into our systems that give us a feeling of comfort, that give us a sense of relief or relaxation. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, even comfort food. When we're stressed, when we're tired, when we're overextended, we get to this place where we become vulnerable and we begin to rationalize, I need a break. And we become open to sin. Sin is not only relaxing, it's tempting. Sin appeals to our weaknesses. Sin promises to fulfill a perceived need, but like a drug, sin tempts with the promise of lasting fulfillment, but delivers hollow promises. Appealing to our senses of entitlement and longing for fulfillment, sin overpromises and underdelivers every time. Every time. Not only is sin relaxing and tempting, but it's deadly. James reminds us that sin kills. It is a theme that runs throughout Scripture from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden to the captivity of the nation of Israel in Egypt to their time in the desert to the prophets warning Israel as to the cost of apostasy to the crucifixion of Jesus to the life that Jesus lived and waiting for His return. James reminds us that sin kills, and sin's empty promises lead its victims to certain death. Let's look at the definition of sin. And there's really a two-pronged definition here. There's actual sin, or sin that we commit by willful intention or willful action. And then there's also sin the Bible teaches that we are born into because we've been born into a fallen world. We call that original sin. So actual sin and original sin. First of all, actual. This is a willful transgression against a known law of God. I know I shouldn't do it, and if I do it, it's sin. That's a willful transgression against the known law of God. To intentionally misrepresent, to misrepresent the facts intentionally is a lie. It's named in the Ten Commandments. And these are things like lying and deceit are sin no matter what. Like lust, murder, stealing, and adultery, it's sin. Straight and simple. It's sin. Then there are those things that are sin for some and not for others. And I know I may not be clearing things up for you here, but it's just the Apostle Paul talks about it. He talks about, you know, it's fine for me to eat meat that's, you know, sacrificed to an idol as long as I don't, you know, raise a question as to where that came from. I don't need to know. If they offer it to me, I'm not going to offend them by saying, well, where did this come from? Just take it and eat it. But then Paul says, if I understand that it's come from a pagan temple, and my brother, who's a new Christian, is sitting beside me, and they say, hey, I know where that came from, and you're eating meat that was sacrificed at the pagan temple up the hill, Paul says, if it offends my brother, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so there's things that are in our lives that they may or may not be sin for us, and they become sin if they take the place of the role of Christ in our life. For instance, there's things that people do that, well, it's okay if I meddle a little bit. All right, I won't go there. Let's talk at original sin. Actual sin is a willful transgression against the known law of God. Original sin is the sin we were born with and is passed down to us by virtue of us being human. It could be named several things, but I'm going to give it kind of a comprehensive title this morning and call it pride. It is the will in us that rises up to resist God and His claim on our lives. And we find that our actual sins, like lying, deceit, murder, adultery, are actually rooted in this deep sin called pride. That's why, until that deep sin, the original sin that we were born with, is reckoned with, we are very ineffective at dealing with actual sin. Because it's like that is so fertile soil for the sinful nature to grow really great sins out of. It's like Miracle-Gro. Pride, it produces all kinds of ugly sins. And we can say, Lord, I know that's bad, and I know that's bad, and we quit doing that. And then something else grows right up. And we're like, where did that come from? It came from the deep original sin that we were born with. Just by virtue of being born into this world, the sin of Adam, pride. And that is scary. But I have good news this morning. Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. His work on the cross is not insufficient. Amen. Woo! What starts as salvation all the way through our Christian walk, actually, you could give it the big term of sanctification. It begins with the stage of salvation, and we continue to grow. We realize that we can't just keep nipping these little sins in the bud. There's a deep, real problem in my life that resists God. I may have come to a point where I'm willing to give Him everything that will keep me out of heaven. Give me a ticket, Lord. Punch my ticket. Let me in. It's cheap salvation from our perspective. But as we grow and mature, we begin to realize what these sins have cost Jesus and what they've cost our lives. And we begin to be cognizant of the fact that there's a root in us that this salvation that Jesus provided is sufficient for too. I've just got to give it up. And I've got to let His grace and His blood cleanse me of that deep root that keeps producing more and more sin. You and I both tried to cut off a dandelion at the top. And what happens? The thing just keeps growing. Jesus' salvation, provided for us by His death on the cross, is sufficient. Amen. It's not lacking. We're full and free salvation. Praise His name. Whew. James says, each person is dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. I want us to understand something this morning, that James creates for us a picture of sin and salvation as both having a life of their own. Sin has a life of its own. Let's look at James 1:15. Then after sin has conceived, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's the life cycle of sin in our lives. Had Jesus not stepped in and intervened and given His life on the cross, this is our future. Death. It's what happened to Adam and Eve God said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And as soon as they did that, Satan said, I got them. And then God stepped in and says, no, you don't. And had Jesus not intervened, this is our future. So sin has a life cycle. Sin has a life of its own. But let's also look at salvation. James 1:18 says this, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He chose to give us birth. We're so excited for our grandbaby to be arriving in, could be as little as 35, 45 days. Little Hannah. It's on her way. Let's talk about conception for a moment. James talks about sin as having a life that begins with conception. Conception happens not only physically, but it happens in the mind, a vision for what could be. Follows through with action. It happens in the heart and mind. And anytime there's a conception of sin in our life, it has been preceded by a wrong perception of ourselves or God. Let me say that again. Anytime sin is allowed to be conceived in our minds, it has been preceded by our wrong perception of God or ourselves. And what begins to happen? You all remember your biology. As soon as conception happens, growth starts happening really, really fast. Cell multiplication. It's an incredible process in biology. And James says, you see, here's the point. One sin is never one sin. It's going to take on a life of its own. It's going to grow. It begins a pathology of thinking, conceiving and birthing and growing and multiplication and reproduction. Well, it's just like fleas. Cute little critters, aren't they? Go ahead and put one up there, Brad. Here's one under a microscope looking head on. Oh, their eggs are so small. Right on the edge of your finger there. If you've had animals in your home, you've probably had to deal with the problem of fleas. The flea life cycle begins when the female lays eggs after feeding. Eggs are laid in bunches of 20 or so, usually on the host itself, which means the eggs will start to roll off too and find themselves, you know, laying in different places, finding different hosts. Because of this, areas where the host rests and sleeps become one of the primary habitats of eggs and developing fleas. The eggs take around 2 days to 2 weeks to hatch. Female fleas can lay 5,000 or more eggs in their life, allowing for a phenomenal growth rate. Here's a picture of some larvae hatching. Aren't they cute? Flea larvae emerge from eggs to feed on any available organic material, such as dead insects, feces, and vegetable matter. In laboratory studies, some dietary diversity seems to be necessary for proper larva development. Blood-only diets allow only 12% of larvae to mature, whereas blood and yeast or dog chow is perfect. allowing almost all larvae to mature. They develop into the pupal stage, or P-U-P-A-L. Yeah. Go ahead and go there, Brad. They wrap themselves in a silky-like substance into cocoons in this little woven silky cocoon. After another week or two, the adult fleas are fully developed and ready to emerge into their new life. They may remain resting during this period until they receive a signal that a host is nearby, like vibrations on the floor, heat, and carbon dioxide are all stimulants to the probable presence of a host, and they come alive as if they're waiting to pounce. This is all chemical at the biological chemical level of these larvae and these fleas. Reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8. Be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And then when the larvae continue to mature and seek a meal, they want blood. Nothing else will do. And what starts as an inconvenient itch, And then another itch. Go ahead, Brad. And then one back here. And then one up here. Quickly moves to a terrible problem that doesn't just stop with us, but continues to the next generation. Go ahead, Brad. I read about adult rabbit fleas, and they can detect changes in cortisol and cortisone hormones in the rabbit's blood that indicate the rabbit is getting close to giving birth. And literally, the fleas start migrating down, waiting for the birth to occur, and as the birth occurs, they jump on the new birth and they lay their eggs, and then they jump back on the adult female. The deadliness of sin doesn't stop with us. They complete this mini migration every time Mama Rabbit gives birth. I've heard the saying, if you sleep with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. The fleas here represent sin and death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I wanted to show you some pictures of fleas, of dogs that had some really severe flea problems, but I couldn't bear it. If you want to look online and see dogs with really bad flea problems who don't have any hair left, who are so agonized by the flea problem, their ears are almost inside out from the fleas getting inside. It's terrible. I couldn't show the pictures. That's a symbol of what sin does. Just one. Wait a minute. Oh, there's two. Wait, whoa. Whoa. Has a life of its own. What am I going to do? They're multiplying like fleas. And not only in our life, but unless it is dealt with, is passed on to the lives of our kids. So there's a cause and effect of sin. Now, other than knowing sin is bad, I wonder if sometimes maybe we do not fully grasp the cost of sin in our lives. There's an emotional cost. as Christians, when we go against what we know is right, we experience guilt and shame. This impacts how we feel and can lead us into a debilitating depression and isolation. And as James says, we are dragged away as if by a beast. We are dragged out of community when we sin. Do you have the picture? We are like a lion grabbing a gazelle and pulls it into the bush. We are dragged away as if by an animal who is set to devour us. So is Satan's intention for us. There's an emotional toll. There's a mental toll to sin. Jeanette and I have had the responsibility as mental health professionals to work with individuals who had experienced substance-induced mental illness. That's when they got a bad drug and their body, their brain suffered some irreversible results. Delusions, paranoia, inability to focus, anxiety. These are debilitating symptoms that make everyday activities like going to Walmart and working nearly impossible. Apart from mental illness, sin makes us lazy and unproductive. And oh, how many minds in their prime have been anesthetized because they thought there was no hope, and they keep administering an anesthetic because life is so painful and it hurts and they can't seem to break the sin cycle. And we can't. We cannot in and of ourselves break the sin cycle, only Jesus. And that's the good news I have for us today. The wages of sin is also mental death and physical death. Sin steals life away physically from us too. In addition to the already mentioned debilitating effects of the abuse of illegal substances, there is the use of legal, yet still harmful substances that can be bought over the counter at the checkout line at the grocery store. Let's remember that we are stewards of our bodies, not daredevils. We have been given a body to house our spirit for a little while. These bodies reflect God's creative ability. They are masterpieces of God. And we cannot cheat sin. We cannot cheat the effects of sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin, as with Adam and Eve, so it is with us. Sin brings death into our eternity. Hell is real. I don't know what it looks like, but I do know this. It's an eternal separation from God. Sin not only brings eternal death, but it brings death in the here and now. Joy is gone. Hope is gone. Faith is gone. And in its place, anger and rage reside, where love and compassion are meant to live. But I have really, really good news. It's bath time. That's what Tia would do. As soon as Jeanette runs the water in the tub, Tia disappears. That's not Tia, but she would do that. This little dog, she's about this big. She can grow to be this big with her legs extended like that. She can... You know, you've had dogs that won't let you go through doorways because they hate baths. They can get them legs out there and just hang on. It's bath time. Every good and perfect gift. Like a bath. Like being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Comes from above. Amen. Meaning this, as opposed to the sting of death, Jesus wants to give us something far different than the life of sin that takes on a life of its own and will eat us up by taking blood and just reproducing itself over and over again. Jesus said, my blood is sufficient. I've paid the price of that sin forever. You live now in freedom. I've paid the price. I'll keep the critters at bay. You live in freedom. I'm so glad when I was 5 years old, I took a bath in the blood of Jesus. And he washed me. He washed me clean. And I've had to go to him time after time and ask for forgiveness for sins that I've committed. But he keeps me clean. And his blood will never lose its power. When I was saved, it began a brand new life in me. Amen. And when you were saved, a brand new life started. And it's multiplying. Cells are multiplying. You are developing into the person God wants you to be, unless you're stopping it. Unless you're still sleeping with the dogs. You're developing into the person God wants you to be as you separate and are washed in the blood of the Lamb. James 1:18, he gives us a new birth through the Word, the light of truth. Worship team, would you come on up? Our Father knew us before we were born, and we were given a new birth. Through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were given life for eternity and are given life to the full right now. Through the blood of Jesus, we are saved and clean. Ushers, would you begin to distribute the elements of communion? Brad. After the video, I'll be guiding us through the communion, receiving of it. Let's watch this video. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not eat again or drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and he gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive and be thankful. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for paying the blood penalty of death for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you are the spotless Lamb who takes away my sin and takes away the sin of the world. Lord, we receive this symbol as a remembrance today of your blood that was given for us, given for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive now with thankfulness. Well, Jesus has paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. This morning, I trust that you have heard from Jesus and have heard his invitation of love to you and have received his salvation through his blood. If you'd like to pray with me about that, or Jeanette, or anyone that you have confidence in, I would encourage you to do that before you leave here today. This is a treatment center, amen? The culture right now is okay with a few fleas, but Jesus says, "That's not my future for you." And there is coming a time when culture will be overrun and will be so sick of sin that it'll bring their own destruction. Let's be the church for them. Amen. Let's be the body of Christ and be here and ready and available to share the good news. Let's stand as we sing this last song. Amen. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you for evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder. Power in the blood, power in the blood. Oh, come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Just the voices, here we go. Ooh.
whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Oh, sins,
stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service?
Would you do service for Jesus the King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there's power,
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 wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the blood.
In the
blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
In the precious blood.
In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Praise God.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Praise God.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Have a great day.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb. Precious blood of the Lamb.
Good job, fellas.
I know. I know.
You did good.
Yeah.
Yeah.